If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Wednesday is This Week in History Day around here. Anna DeBlantis joins us now. We start with something that was all over the news a long time ago here, the murder trial that dominated the headlines. Anna?
Yeah, go back to 1924, Bob. Is that far enough back?
Yeah.
And in Chicago, the entire Chicago area was just captivated by the salacious details of an ongoing murder trial. You know, you used to have the morning paper and the afternoon paper, and people were just snapping them up because 22-year-old Beulah Annan had shot her lover, Harry Kalstead, inside her Southside apartment. And people just, I mean, it was like people couldn't get enough. Do you know what this is the basis for, Bob? This is the movie Chicago. Hmm. And did you ever see the musical?
Yes. Uh-huh.
It was interesting because she was young, she was pretty, there were so many salacious details around this that people just, they couldn't get enough. Mm-hmm. And Beulah Annan held court at the Harrison Street Police Station. And she just told the detectives everything. She just said, like, you know, I didn't love him, I didn't love my husband. She was, like, kind of innocent in a way. And, you know, it took, like, a Richard Gere-style attorney to get her out of it.
So it was kind of the OJ of the day back there in 1924, huh?
It totally was, you know, because you think about it, Bob, like, you're like, how could you, you know, how could people be so captivated by something so dark? And then you think, you know, there kind of is this example today, you know, of OJ, or, you know, years ago, but of what happened with OJ. So mm-hmm. just interesting to go back and think, and it was a Chicago Tribune crime reporter, Maureen Watkins, who covered Beulah and some of the other women at the time who had committed murder. And she turned that into a play. And who knew, you know, one of the longest running musicals in history of Broadway.
And the fact,
and an Oscar-winning movie.
The fact that she was an attractive woman made it an even bigger story back in the day, didn't it?
They called her the prettiest murderer. They really played up on how beautiful she was and how young. One of the headlines said prettiest murderer. They called her murderess. They both reached for the gun was another subheading, but she got it first. And I mean, I just went back and read through a lot of it, Bob. And when you do, you know, you think about at that time, people were just sort of like they were just eating up every detail, and it turned into this dark soap opera that was playing out before our eyes as a city way back in 1924. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, the story of Beulah Annan. Well, let's get on to the story of a Chicago treasure. What an institution Lou Mitchell's is, and this was a big week for that place in 2006.
Legendary Chicago diner, Lou Mitchell's, Bob, officially added to the National Registry of Historic Places this week in 2006. But Lou Mitchell's has been around for over 100 years. Just an amazing breakfast spot for all those years where you often see a line outside the door to this day. You know, big stacks of pancakes, quality food, but it's kind of the hospitality and the warm feel inside there, that family-run establishment, and it's just very no-nonsense, really fun. People love it, have just loved it. It's also located right near the start of Route 66. People from all over the world have actually gone to Lou Mitchell's because of that. When they try to take that iconic trek across the country, they often stop for breakfast first at Lou Mitchell's. So the owner talks about all the people from around the world that he's met. And it's pretty cool. They give you the free donut holes, too, so that's a bonus. And then they have, like, free milk duds, too, if you really, you know what you're asking for before you leave. They'll give you some free milk. Yeah. So cool, though. 101 years old. Nothing quite like it. It's they still have waitresses and servers there who have been there 20, 30, even 40 years. We pulled a clip here, Bob. Donna, one of their servers, is in her 90s. She's in her 90s.
Hmm.
And
wow.
Here's a clip of the owner and Donna, one of their most popular servers.
It's historic. I mean, it kind of doesn't, you don't realize it until you're there.
Yeah.
I remember it was like a blink of an eye. We were doing a 75th anniversary and thought, wow, this is pretty incredible. We're here 75 years, hope to be 100, and here we are. And yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
What do you think is the key to your success over 100 years?
Consistency. I've never ever felt that we would sacrifice quality for price. I'd rather raise a price. I think our customers would pay a little more for the same things. We didn't change anything. We didn't have to ever because of a recipe. We kept them identical to Uncle Lou's.
Donna, what is the secret to your longevity and just a happy, long, beautiful life?
Well, you keep moving, and we have such wonderful people here that I have to see them. I mean, you can't drop them, and it's been a really good run, and I love it, and I'm going to keep it going.
Lou Mitchell's on West Jackson. Mm. Still great. Do we really want to commemorate now the Bears draft of 2017?
I'm sorry, Bob. I know Bears fans are gloating right now about this year's draft, and a lot of hope is alive within us, but think back to this week, 2017, and yes, Bears fans were putting their collective hands in their faces, and were groaning because the Bears had traded up, as we all recall, in the draft to make the shock announcement that they were selecting quarterback Mitch Trubisky as the second overall pick. Bears fans as a whole did not like that at the time. Recall that Patrick Mahomes was available. Of course, we remember that. But in hindsight, it's 2020. We all get that. Bears fans did go on to embrace Trubisky for a while, and he had some moments of greatness. But go back to 2017, and the Bears had just acquired Mike Glennon 7 months earlier. Remember him, Bob? Mike Glennon? Does that sound familiar?
Vaguely.
There's so many. But that's like a good trivia game. Bears quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so you can hear the shock here. We pulled a clip here. Bring us back to 2017. Even the broadcast pros, right after Roger Goodell announced the Bears trade, were a little sort of shocked.
Whitney's second pick in the 2017 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Mitchell Trubisky.
Whoa!
Quarterback,
well,
North Carolina.
Hello. Mitchell Trubisky is going to Chicago, and he will mentor with Mike Glennon.
Well, I'm going to be the first one to put my hand up and say I obviously did not see that coming, and I really thought that Chicago was pretty excited about Mike Glennon.
Oh, well.
We move on.
Yeah, we have to. A bit of showbiz history now, the debut of the Blues Brothers, Anna.
Yeah, Bob, let's go back to 1978. The Blues Brothers made their debut on Saturday Night Live as the opening act to host Steve Martin this week, 1978. Dan Aykroyd and Wheaton native John Belushi stepped into the roles of Elwood and Joliet Jake Blues for the very first time that night on stage. The Blues Brothers, they became, it's interesting how this just took off. They became the first SNL characters to get a feature film based on them. And you think about how many SNL sketches have turned into films over the years. That was the first. They were also the first performers from the show to have a number one album. The cover that they did of Soul Man went on to number 14 on the Billboard 100. Their album hit number one. And yes, they got this incredible movie out of it, shot mostly in Chicago, which so many of us love and have seen many, many times. That came 2 years later. Here's a clip of Dan Aykroyd. This is a fun one we pulled. Little known fact from the filming in Chicago of the Blues Brothers. It happened during filming, and they somehow lost John Belushi. He disappeared.
We were shooting at the Harvey, Illinois Mall, you know, that famous mall scene. It was an abandoned mall at the time. Lunch had broken, and we went looking for John. Couldn't find him anywhere, you know. So I saw this path kind of leading out of the, you know, the weed-strewn parking lot into a suburban neighborhood nearby. And I walked down this path, and I walked into the neighborhood, and I looked. All the houses were dark, but halfway down one of the streets, there were lights on. I thought, well, I don't know. I've got an instinct here. I'm going to try. And I knocked on the door. And the guy said, yeah. And I said, we're shooting a movie over here. Yeah, I know. Well, and we're looking for one of our actors. Yeah, I know, Belushi. He came in there about a half an hour ago. He raided my fridge. He's asleep on my couch. With the guest who never left, who could, you know, he'd walk into anybody's house in America and be welcomed, you know, raid the fridge and lay down.
He was a friendly guy. I know that.
He totally was.
And it's interesting that they warmed up the SNL audiences originally. that's what those guys did before before the show went on the air. They just were the warm-up act. That's it.
And it's hard to think of that, right? Because they turned into something that was everyone loved in and of itself. But Steve Martin wanted them when he hosted to come on and precede him for the opening monologue. So pretty cool.
Here's something that I've never heard of, the Chicago Women's Fair. But it was quite historic, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, Bob, I hadn't heard of this either. I was wondering if it would kind of, if you had, because we've all heard of Chicago's two world fairs, the Columbian Exposition in 1893, the Century of Progress, 1933. But in between there was the Chicago Women's Fair, and it was global, and people came from all over the world in the end of April, early May, 1925, to see what's possible for women. And it was very progressive, looking forward to, you know, kind of where women are today and where we see them being in the future. And this is, think about it, this was 5 years after women had gained the right to vote. So it was a bold statement, I think you could say. During the Columbian Exposition, there was a women's building, but it was kind of limiting because it was one building and it was sort of that's where the women were. But here, this fair reimagined new professions for women, new futures. They spotlighted possibilities like women could be lawyers and architects and bankers and plumbers and real estate brokers. And I pulled some of the brochure pages online, and it's just interesting how they really predicted the future in so many ways, this bold reimagination of what was possible for women even way back then.
And finally, let's mention this week in Chicago hot dog history.
Okay, Bob, I don't know if I'm going to stump you on this. It's hard to do with hot dog history because you know all of it. But did you know that David Berg hot dogs were served at the Republican National Convention in Chicago in 1860 when they nominated Abraham Lincoln at the Wigwam? Did you know that?
I was not aware of that. I must have been absent that day in history class at Roosevelt High.
No, you missed it. You weren't alive then either. So that's, you know, those things are true. So the it's so true, and it's interesting. The patriarch, David Berg, who, you know, we know is bought by Vienna Beef, but his hot dogs are still around to this day under his name. He was asked to cater it, and he did. He catered it at the Wigwam, the Republican National Convention. Problem was, Lincoln wasn't there because that's how they did it back then. The candidate didn't show up. So maybe he had to wait a while for a David Berg hot dog. But true story, they were served then, and just another fine chapter in Chicago hot dog history.
Yeah, Berg, now owned by Vienna, right?
Yes, exactly. But they still have the David Berg. They said they still preserve the recipe and some of the original spices. So it's interesting.
Now you know what I'm hungry for.
Go get it, Bob.
A hot dog lunch. Anna, thank you. Talk to you next week.